Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Afrida Love Show, where Jesus shines with love. I am your host this evening, Dr. Afrida Love, and this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm so excited and delighted that each and every one of you from all over the country have decided to listen to this particular show on today, because I have a very special treat. But before we begin, we always start with Psalm 136, numbers 1 through 9, and it reads, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The morning star to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever." I have read to you Psalm 136, numbers 1 through 9. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, the doers, and the seekers of his holy word. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for blessing us. As we were able to wake up and you started us on our way, you gave us a reasonable portion of our health and strength. We ask, will something be said or done on this ministry that will edify who you are and that will help individuals all over this country? We thank you for the opportunity, and we thank you for the blessing. We thank you for each and every person who is on the ministry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. And on today, we have a very special treat, and I received a few days ago a pitch from Mr. Parker. Mr. Parker is an expert on the Roe versus Wade case, as you all know, that began in 1973. And one of the main topics in this Roe versus Wade Supreme Court case is that we need not resolve the difficult question of when life begins. And so since 1973, there has been ongoing debate on should a woman be able to decide to keep her child or abort her child. And as you all know, many activists began to really think about this case and pour out their feelings to the world. And so on today, you will hear from an expert, Mr. Parker, and you will hear words such as moral outcry. You will understand what that is. You will understand the different implications of the moral outcry petition and how it was filed and what have been its accomplishments. And you will hear up-to-date minutes on what happened on October the 4th and how many people can sign this particular petition, because the goal is for 500,000 signatures to be presented to the Supreme Court to overturn Roe versus Wade. So without further ado, I am going to connect with Mr. Parker. So give me just a second.
Foundation. Our office is currently closed, but if you are calling in regards to forced abortion, please.
Okay, give me just a second. I'm going to have to find a new phone number. Let's see here. So while I do this, let's see if I can get another number. Let's see here. I called this number earlier today. Let me see if I can send a quick message. And part of radio is just being patient because we have to make sure that we're able to contact all of our guests, because that was actually the office phone. So give me just a second. And I'm going to send a message, and it may take a few minutes. It's okay, because that gives us plenty of time to reflect. I'm going to try to call from my phone as well. But as this case went to the Supreme Court in 73, we discovered that there were many implications with this particular case. And so, let me look here. me see if anyone connected with me. Because I used the number from the other time. Let's see. So this is a good time to just reflect and to think about that 1973 case while I think about how to contact our guest. And if I'm unable to contact our guest, I would just expand your knowledge on the case. Okay, just a second.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, may I speak to Mr. Parker?
This is he, Dr. Love. How are you?
Great, how are you doing, Mr. Parker?
Very good, very good, very good.
So we're actually on live radio. And
right now, all right.
Yes, sir, and I'm going to begin by allowing you to reintroduce yourself, and then I will start with the questions.
Well, thank you. I'm at the Supreme Court of the United States right now. Let me put my microphone on. I think I'll get a better sound. Can you hear me fine now?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. My name is Alan Parker. I'm the president of the Justice Foundation, and I'm a lawyer licensed to practice before the U.S. Supreme Court, and I am actually right behind the Supreme Court of the United States, looking at it right now. I'm in Washington, D.C. I'm the lawyer for the Moral Outcry petition to the United States Supreme Court to reverse Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton, the two cases that brought abortion to America. So I am here right now in Washington, D.C., preparing for a rally we're going to have on the steps of the Supreme Court on Monday, October 4th, to unroll two scrolls, each with over 250,000 names on it.
Wow.
Asking the Supreme Court to reverse Roe and Doe.
All right. And just to give a background, because we have many different individuals who are listening on there, just kind of give them a brief synopsis of what you want to reverse. What does, you know, all those signatures represent? What are you trying to reverse?
Well, right now, we believe that the greatest injustice in the world today is abortion.
Right.
It results in the death of about 1 million children in the womb every year. And today, there's a way to end the political division over abortion and help women and children. Mm-hmm. And so the Moral Outcry petition proposes five reasons why Roe should be reversed, technically under the law of judicial precedent, when you follow a Supreme Court decision or when you overturn it.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're really presenting is reasons to the court and to America and to your listeners as to why we, America, and women who might even choose abortion today would be better off if Roe were reversed.
Well,
so would you like me to go into those reasons?
Yes, sir. But before we go into those reasons, so
okay,
what is the moral outcry? You explained a little bit about it, but what is the heart of the moral outcry?
The heart of it is a petition that you can sign at themoraloutcry.com. And then your name is printed in our briefs, like in the Mississippi ban on late-term abortion. Mississippi simply says, after 15 weeks, the baby is old enough to feel pain, the baby has a beating heart, the baby has fingers and toes, DNA shows it's a human being, it's not a fish. And Mississippi passed a law and said after 15 weeks, which is in the second trimester, way after most women have abortions, that court said, Mississippi said, we are going to pass a law banning that. And then the abortion industry took it to court, and they got that law stopped. And then the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals stopped it. And they said, you can't do that under Roe v. Wade. Roe v. Wade says a woman has a right to an abortion. Well, Mississippi also said, well, we have a better way to help women be free from the problem of unwanted children. Let me say also, I represent thousands of women who have had abortions. In our brief at the Supreme Court,
That's okay.
In our brief at the U.S. Supreme Court, we represent 2,249 women who had late-term abortions, and 2,249 women had first trimester abortions when 80 to 90% of abortions occur, but 375 of the women actually had late-term abortions. So what we found is that abortion kills a child, but women don't want to kill a child. They simply want to be free of the child burden of parenting. They either can't take care of a child or they don't want to take care of a child. And every state, including Mississippi, has a safe haven law now. Right. Under the safe haven law, a woman can relinquish her baby at a hospital or fire station within a certain period of time after birth at a designated safe place. It's usually hospitals or fire stations, something safe like that. There's plenty of them everywhere in the state. And it's free.
Right.
If a woman is low income and can't take care of a child, she shouldn't have to pay a bunch of money for abortion to kill the child and hurt herself. So the three main arguments I've just kind of outlined. One, it is killing an infant life. And the Supreme Court in 2007 said some women come to regret aborting the infant life they once created and sustained. Severe depression and loss of esteem can follow. In another case, the Supreme Court said abortion could cause devastating psychological consequences. Women are sold the lie by the abortion industry. Quick, just give us your money. It'll be over. You have it safe. You'll never think about it again. One of our ladies testified. They said, I'd never have to think about it again, but there's not a day go by I don't think about the child that I killed. And many women feel like murderers. Now, I'm not saying that they are because it's legal, but it is killing a human child at this point. So it's killing a human, it hurts the women, and now there's a safe haven alternative in every state. And if a woman is low income, mm-hmm. then Medicaid in every state will pay for her medical bills. No low-income woman has to pay for killing her child. Under the safe haven law, she simply drops it off at a hospital or fire station. No questions asked, no legal procedure, and she can have the freedom of Roe v. Wade without killing the child or hurting herself. Okay. Isn't that a better way to have justice for the child and mercy for the mother?
That is excellent. That is excellent. Now, let me ask you this. I was listening. So we know that the Constitution protects a pregnant woman's liberty to choose to have an abortion. Now, say that, for instance, our petition, and I say our because I've already signed it, and it took me less than like 3 seconds. Say, for instance, our petition was passed, okay? What would this look like for the government? Because the government has placed restrictions, right? So what would this look like if this petition passed, this moral outcry petition passed? What would it look like for the mother? What options?
Good question. Now, you said the Constitution says there's a right to abortion, and I'll just go back to that. The Constitution doesn't actually say that. The Constitution is a written document. Now, the Supreme Court in 1973, they rendered an opinion of the court that said the Constitution said that or that gave women that right. There's no word about abortion in the Constitution. There's actually a right to life in the Constitution by the express written terms. But so that's why we're back at the Supreme Court. because in order to win, the Supreme Court has to reverse its decision. And they've done that over 200 times. And I'm going to get to your question about what it would mean for women, but I do want to just mention one more thing, reversing decisions. In 1954, in one of their greatest decisions of all time, called Brown v. Board of Education, that began to end segregation in America, you know what they did in that case in 1954 in Brown? They reversed a 58-year-old precedent of the Supreme Court, a 58-year-old opinion called Plessy versus Ferguson, which had allowed segregation in 1896. And the Constitution said, the 14th Amendment, the 13th Amendment said there'll be no more slavery, and the 14th Amendment said African Americans are going to get equal treatment under the law. But in 1896, the Supreme Court said, well, separate but equal is equal. That wasn't in the Constitution. The Supreme Court made that up. And just like they made up a right to kill a child in 1973. So suppose they reverse that. Here's what would happen immediately. If the Supreme Court reversed Roe v. Wade today, first of all, in all 50 states, no woman would have to parent a child that she does not want to parent or cannot parent. Depends on the woman's situation. She doesn't have to justify it to anybody. She doesn't have to pay for it. She doesn't have to go for a legal procedure. So if Roe were reversed, this is just a fact. Every state would say, if you don't want to parent the baby, give us the case. Like Texas is 60 days, within 60 days after birth. Some states like California, it's like 3 days, but you can do it. It doesn't cost you anything. You safely surrender the baby to a hospital or fire station. If somebody wants to check on that, they can Google Safe Haven Alliance, and all 50 state laws are there. You can find where you are. If you're thinking about abortion tonight, or as you listen to this, whenever you might hear it, and first of all, there are 3,000 pregnancy centers across the country that give free help to pregnant women considering what to do. You have to pay for an abortion, you know, and it's expensive in some places, especially late-term abortions. So right away, no woman would have to take care of the baby if she doesn't want to. Now, she has a number of options, but she would not. Now, in some states, she'd still be able to get an abortion. In other states, she would not be able to get an abortion. She could only use the Safe Haven law. So that would be the immediate result.
Wow. Okay. So thinking about that, the attractive part of the Roe versus Wade is the absolute privacy rights for women. What define absolute privacy rights for women, how Roe claims as compared to absolute privacy rights when this petition or when Roe is overturned?
Well, you don't really have an absolute privacy right. You can't bring someone into your bedroom and kill them and do it in the privacy of your home. You can't look into this. You can't charge me with the crime. You can't do anything. So the court called it privacy, and there is no actual privacy mentioned in the Constitution. There's a right to life mentioned in the Constitution, but the court wanted to give women freedom from, I can't take care of a baby. I'm not ready for a baby. I can't afford a baby. I don't have a man. I had a one-night stand with a man I can't stand, or I was raped. There are many, many reasons. I represent thousands of women who felt they had good reasons for it. So I will say, once you make abortion legal, it actually allows other people to force women to have an abortion to solve their problem. Let me give you the three most common kinds of forced abortions, and this would stop if abortion were illegal. Number one is adult parents forcing a minor girl to have an abortion against her will. The second is a man forcing a woman to abort his child. She may be super happy they're having a baby. And he said, no way, I don't want that. Get down there and get that abortion. We've got men with guns in their pockets. They take the gun out there. They just force them and berate them. and they inflict their will. And the third is human trafficking or prostitution. So once you make abortion legal, a lot of illegal forced abortions, you know, it's supposed to be the woman's choice, but if, I don't know if your audience can call in or anything, but if you talk to any women, they'll tell you they know somebody who was forced to have an abortion. Mm-hmm. And that would stop, and that's a good thing. But a lot of women want to just not be pregnant. And what we're saying is, well, you can't have the privacy to kill another human being. There's DNA testing that shows this is a human being. There's in vitro fertilization. There's sonograms. We know this is a human being, and all human beings have human rights. So we can't let you do that, but we will take the baby from you. If the baby is a problem for you, in exchange for a few months of pregnancy, which is serious, we'll give you relief from 18 years of child care responsibility, of parenting, of the costs. You don't have to go through that. And it's a somewhat of a compromise between the right to life and our desire to help women in difficult situations. And women can still use contraceptive. That would be there for every woman that wants to use that. If she's not ready, that's one way to do it. And that would kind of be the situation. But what you would avoid, and let me say this, sometimes I come on the phone with the women, and you could go to our website, the Justice Foundation, and read some of the women's testimonies. Women talk about devastating psychological consequences, suicide attempts, substance abuse, depression, anxiety, drug abuse, and other problems like anniversary actions. Every year, the woman knows when the baby would have been due, or they remember when they took the life of the baby through abortion, and they say, and they just get grief. Let me tell you something else. I happen to represent Norma McCorby, who was the Roe of Roe v. Wade, the woman whose case brought abortion to America. And she was pro-abortion. She wanted an abortion. She never got one because it takes 9 months to have a baby, and it took 3 years to get to the Supreme Court. So she put that baby up for adoption. But every year on the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, she felt guilty, terrible remorse and regret and sorrow for causing the death of another million babies. So it can be a devastating loss, and yet the abortion industry doesn't tell you this. Some of your listeners may have had abortions. There is forgiveness and healing. We, on our website at the Justice Foundation, have some resources. You can get free counseling, and you can work through it, and that's what many of our women have done. They've worked through the grief and the sorrow and the shame and the guilt and the secrecy. And they've come to a healing point where they say, I want to be a witness. I want to tell people what it really did to me, and I don't want other women to go through that.
Now, let me ask you this, because I had a question. Someone texted me a question. Say, for instance, and God forbid, say, for instance, this was either a young woman or an adult woman who was forced, and from that force, a baby, was conceived. What would this, overturning this particular policy, what type of rights would that give that woman? You know, she's been through that traumatic experience. She doesn't even know the person, but now a baby is conceived.
There's two cases like that caused the most concern for us all: rape and incest. So it could be forced by a relative or by a stranger, okay? Let's take incest first because it's shorter and a little bit easier to understand. If a relative or someone close to her is raping that girl regularly and she gets pregnant, then allowing him to take her to an abortion clinic and say that a boyfriend got her pregnant and paying for an abortion and continuing the rape is the most horrible situation of all. Because he's destroying the evidence. It's better if she got pregnant and people start saying, who's the father? You could do DNA testing, and that man should be punished to the maximum extent of the law. So that's the better solution. And people can understand that, oh, you're just enabling the incest person if you let him go down and get an abortion and he keeps raping the girl. Now, stranger rape is a little bit different. It doesn't happen repeatedly like the incest does. But here's what I find, and I want to say this. Everything I know about women came from these women's testimonies. Our office has collected 4,728 legally admissible written testimonies that they swear to under penalty of perjury telling about their abortion circumstances and what it did to them. And some of them were raped. So I've talked to women who've actually gone through this because all of us think, oh, well, of course we don't want to make her carry the rapist baby. Nobody should. But there's two things that women do. Some choose to abort. And what we've talked, and then the others choose life. So I've talked to both kinds. The women often who choose to abort then come feel like a criminal themselves. One of them said, before I was the victim of a rapist, now I was a criminal who took the life of my own child. And it's difficult perhaps for us to understand that, but it is a human being that you're dealing with. Most people have not killed another human being, and it's difficult. We have to train soldiers to be able to get over their reluctance to do that, and they have to do it for a just cause, or they can feel moral injury. So now the other group of women kept the baby, and or at least gave birth to the baby, because they can always put the baby up for adoption. There's numerous famous people who were children of rape. James Robinson is a famous Christian minister, worldwide ministry, blesses lots of people and gives away lots and lots of money to low income and Christian charity. He was a child of rape, and his mother kept him alive but gave him up for adoption. Now, some women actually say that giving birth, bringing life out of their tragedy, was life-affirming and healing for them. Instead of being a victim, they were a caregiver, a mother. And some of the women in your audience know how strong that feeling can be. And the child is innocent. The father should be punished. I actually believe in the death penalty for men who rape women. We had the death penalty in this country until the Supreme Court said, no, that's cruel and unusual. So I believe, again, the Supreme Court, by not punishing the wrongdoer, the man, has hurt women. There's more rape because the penalty is not strong enough for it. That's my own personal opinion about rape. But that's what women tell me, experience that they actually live. Not what we think they ought to do, gave comfort to giving life to that child.
Wow. And so I was researching a little bit, and so in Griswold versus Connecticut, they basically indicated that woman's right to an abortion fell within the right of privacy and is protected by the 14th Amendment. Now, the part that I really had a problem with was a woman during the entirety of her pregnancy, you know, the different levels, she had the right to abort the child. And like you said, that child at that time is a human. And so what do you think about that particular case?
Well, it's interesting. Again, I told your listeners at the beginning, I'm looking at the back of the U.S. Supreme Court, and there's a slogan up at the top of the building on the back. Mm-hmm. There's a slogan on the front. Everybody's probably seen the one on the front, equal justice under law. Okay, we all want that.
Right.
Now, Griswold said the woman had the liberty to use contraceptives, and most contraceptives don't kill a baby. They keep a baby from coming into existence. A proper contraceptive is one that prevents the sperm and the egg from coming together, because as soon as the sperm and the egg join at fertilization, there's now a new, unique, different human being. Half the time it's a man inside a woman's body, right? But on the back of the Supreme Court, there's a phrase that says, justice, the guardian of liberty. So justice is the guardian of liberty. You have the liberty to do something, but justice stops you from hurting another person. And it's what you said. This is a separate human being, and and you can't take the life of another human being. Throughout history, when we have deprived legal protection from a class of human beings, that's called a crime against humanity. And when have we done that to a class of human beings? Well, the Supreme Court's done it twice to African Americans. They did it in the Dred Scott case before the Civil War. And they said, these African Americans, they're subhuman. They're inferior. Nobody should give them any rights. And they said, they'll never be persons under the Constitution. That was wrong. That was so wrong, it's a crime against humanity. And it took the Civil War to overcome that. And if we don't stop the killing of bloodshed, of the shedding of innocent blood, well, we may end up with a civil war, because I believe God hates the shedding of innocent blood. That's what it says in his word.
Right.
And how can he bless a nation that sheds innocent blood? And whether or not you think that, it's just, you can just see our country being torn apart. It's time to end the abortion wars by helping the woman with the safe haven law. She doesn't have to pay anything. She doesn't have to take whether she's raped, and which everyone would say, well, that's an excellent reason. If she just says, I don't feel like it, she could say, I want to have sex 50 times a week, and if the baby comes, I'll just use safe haven. Now, that's not going to be a good life. I mean, we all need to be responsible, but that's her legal right right now. I'm talking as a lawyer. You can verify this at our websites. We cite all the state laws or the National Safe Haven Alliance. The Justice Foundation website has, by the way, we have material there to stop forced abortion. If someone's forcing you to abort, that's illegal right now. Call us at the Justice Foundation. Go to our website. Contact us. We'll help you stop a forced abortion. Now, if it's voluntary right now, a woman has the right under the current opinions of the Supreme Court to have an abortion up to the moment of birth, actually, though some states prohibit late-term abortions like Mississippi has done.
That's good. Okay, so now let's go back to the moral outcry. Tell us where it has been filed and tell us some of its accomplishments.
Well, we started this about 4 years ago in 2017. My client, Melinda Tebow, founder of the Moral Outcry petition, and she actually was praying one day and felt like the Lord showed her to lay out a petition before the Supreme Court. And she called me, she got my name and called me and said, has anybody ever done that? And I said, no. And then she said, could it be done? And I thought a minute and I said, well, there's no reason it can't be done. There's no reason. And you can file it as an appendix to a friend of the court brief. A friend of the court brief is someone who's not a party, but they're giving the court their help. And that's what we've done. In this Mississippi case, which, by the way, is going to be heard by the Supreme Court at the oral argument phase on December 1st. That's where two lawyers stand before the court and argue. Right now, it's in the written brief phase, and that's what we did. We filed the moral outcry brief in the Dobbs case at the U.S. Supreme Court, and we put 539,108 signatures
Wow.
in our brief. If we had printed out in paper, it would be 11,000 pages long. But in the way you filed in the court, it's just in a Dropbox. So that's one reason that we could do it today. And some lawyers said you couldn't file a petition because you don't just show up with a paper in a box and expect the court to read it. But they do read amicus curiae or friend of the court briefs. And that's what we've done. So what other accomplishments? This petition is an expression of the American people. We have the right to petition the government for redress of grievances. Well, this year, on March 9th, the state of Arkansas passed a law banning all abortion, but offering to take every unwanted child from any woman for any reason That law was passed on March 9th, and the reasons in the petition became the legislative findings of the Arkansas legislature. They said, we adopt this petition, and when a legislature makes it and makes it a law, the courts give great weight and deference to legislative findings because we live in a democracy, and the people's representatives are supposed to be the ones who make laws, not the Supreme Court. It's not their business to make law. Their job is to interpret the law.
That's right. So let me ask you this. With this petition and all of those signatures, and signatures are still coming in, are there any states that did not participate? You know, you have all of these signatures. Do you have a representation from all the states, and what about countries?
Yes, we actually have people from every state in the union, and even though it is primarily designed for United States citizens, there are people from many other countries. I don't have a count of the number of those, but thousands of people have signed it from other countries around the world, and we ask if you're a U.S. citizen or not, because we want to represent to the court the number that are Americans. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we put in the brief how many even from other places in the world also agree that abortion is a crime against humanity. It hurts women. There's a better alternative to the safe haven law. And sometimes people say, well, what's going to happen to all those kids if they're just dropped off at a fire station? And we do know that sometimes children in foster care for a long time. But here's the new fact that's also in the petition. There are 1 to 2 million families every year waiting to adopt newborn children in America. And those families would be the ones who would be carefully vetted by the state, and then they'd be on a list. And when a baby's dropped off by a woman who can't take care of it or doesn't want to, the hospital or fire station would check them out physically. If they need medical care, they're going to get that too. And then they're going to take care of them, and then they'll call the next family on the list and say, hey, we had a beautiful baby girl dropped off today. You're top of the list. Are you all ready to come and get this baby? And they have the right to say, no, we decided we can't or something, but then it's just the next person on the list. And there's far more people waiting to adopt newborn children than there are children killed by abortion in America. So I sometimes call this the love, love, love solution. It's love the baby, love the mother, and love the families that are waiting for newborn children.
That's great. And actually, I just published a book, and it's a book that's comprised of adoption and is basically to encourage individuals to adopt children. And so I believe I'm right on board with you and with your petition, because I believe that all lives matter, you know. And so whether the baby is, you know, in the womb or whether, you know, a child shouldn't be killed. But I had one more question for you. So say, for instance, and this is the beauty of a radio show, say, for instance, you was in the Supreme Court, and they say, what is your closing argument of why, you know, this particular Roe versus Wade should be overturned? What would you say? Hello?
I'm sorry. Your Honor, we have made mistakes in American history, and we have actually embraced evil. Slavery was an evil, but we have moved beyond that, and we treat all people alike, regardless of their skin color. We've moved past segregation. Today, it's time to move past the abortion, beyond abortion, to a society where we are inhumane and rich enough to say, don't kill the baby. Don't hurt yourself. Give us as a society the baby, and we'll give it to those millions of homes every year waiting to adopt newborn children. We can solve this problem by treating everyone with humanity and kindness and love. And you've overturned your opinions over 200 times in the past. Let's do it now and let justice roll down like waters.
Wow. It's overturned. That was great.
Amen.
That was great.
Amen.
Wow.
Well, thank you.
Yes, sir. I'm just so impressed. I've already signed the petition, and I'm going to put it on my website. Is there any other, like, closing remarks that you would like to say? Would you like to give your, website address again? Any closing remarks?
Yes, please. The best place to go is thejusticefoundation.org. You can sign the petition there. You can find out about forced abortion there. If you're a woman who's had an abortion and you want the courts to know how painful it was for you, you can fill out a declaration yourself then, and we'll put those in the courts for you. And you tell us whether you use your full name, first name, or initials only, so we can protect your identity. If you haven't told your family about it, then just tell us to use your first name or your initials, something like that. And we have resources for women who need healing to get the healing. And I would say if you haven't been through a healing class, you probably need the healing. And the first three people that signed these things were in my Bible study at church. I didn't think I knew any women who had abortion, but I did. I just didn't know they had abortions. It's everywhere. And it's a deep, dark secret for many women. And it's time to come out of the darkness. And I believe the tears of women who know the secret pain of abortion are going to help bring healing to this nation. It's time to get healed and speak out. And on our website, that program for women is called Operation Outcry, because it's Operation Outcry, Silent No More. Tell the truth, get your healing, and then tell the truth. Be a witness. Tell the truth. That's how it was stories of slavery that ended slavery. Uncle Tom's Cabin, was a story of the horror. Newspaper accounts of the beatings and whippings and the slave ships. You have to tell the truth if you want to end injustice. And where is the truth about abortion? Right now it's locked up in the secret places of women's hearts all across America.
Wow. So tell us the dates now. Tell us when we're going before the Supreme Court, and I say we because of the petition. When is that?
All right. And that website is thejusticefoundation.org, or you can Google the Moral Outcry and get it there. But the best is the Justice Foundation. The date of the oral argument is December 1st, and that's a Wednesday. And then the Supreme Court goes into a private little session, just the judges, and they take a preliminary vote on the case. Okay, who's going to win, the abortion industry or state of Mississippi trying to protect women and children? So that's there would be a preliminary vote. So December 1st is a critical date. And then the court writes the opinion. It probably won't come out publicly until June 30th of next year, 2022.
Okay.
So people in your audience who pray, we say pray for justice.
Yes.
You know, the Reverend Martin Luther King was a reverend,
mm-hmm.
and the abolitionists of slavery were Christians. You know, if you're a Christian, you should be for justice. Because God is a God of justice, and he hates injustice, so it's time to end this injustice, or I believe there will be even more terrible consequences for America than we've undergone.
Wow. So next year, God's will, I want you to come back and tell us how the process was, how you
Amen.
Were able to
Thank
get it
you.
Overturned.
All right.
Okay.
And it will be a great victory, and I think women will be better off, as well as children. And men, we need to stand up and take responsibility for children that we co-conceive. It's not just a woman's problem. It's a man's responsibility. So stand up and be a man.
Right. That's right. Well, Mr. Parker, I appreciate your time, and I will be following and keeping up with this. And please contact me after a decision is made.
Thank you very much for having me on your program.
Yes, sir. Thank you, and you have a blessed night. Bye-bye. All right, ladies and gentlemen, so you heard from Mr. Parker, and once again, if you go to that website, themoraloutcry.com, it takes about 10 seconds to fill out the survey and submit your signature. All right, so we're going to have many more individuals from all over the world on the Afrita Love Show. I have at least 10 guests lined up that I will introduce you to as we schedule the date. I have a few announcements to make. Be sure to continue to encourage your family to tune into blogtalkradio.com/Afrita Love. That's blogtalkradio.com/Afrita Love. In addition to that, continue to pray for your family and your friends. Pray for those individuals you know, those you do not know, and just pray for our world, pray for our schools, our children. Just pray for everyone, you know, just pray. In addition to that, if you're author, writer, actor, actress, lawyer, doctor, teacher, activist, I want you to connect with me by sending me an email at emonya_love@yahoo.com. I would love to have you on this particular show as a guest to bring your expertise, because I have many different individuals who listen to this particular ministry or show, and you will learn much from this national show. In addition to that, you can also check out my YouTube video. I have some entertainment. I have exercising. I have boxing. I have imitations. I have many different things on that website. So please be, on YouTube. So please be sure to connect with me there. I want to, on tomorrow, I'm going to read Dr. Maya Angelou's poem, The Phenomenal Woman. I am Dr. Maya Angelou. And I am a phenomenal woman. And so I want to be able to portray that dialect, if you will. And so I want you to come back on tomorrow. That will be Saturday. And we can enjoy some time together. And I will also have a show on that particular time. And I want you to go to blogtalkradio.com. It's actually /Afrita Love, blogtalkradio.com/Afrita Love. Make sure you listen to all of the particular shows. It's some great things that's happening, real-life stories. I'm actually completing a book, and it's entitled Living with Faith, Love, and Hope. And we were speaking about adoption today with Mr. Parker, and this is an excellent read. I want publishers from all over the country to be sure to pick up a copy of this book by Dr. Afrita Love, Living with Faith, Love, and Hope. It is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful story. So be sure to pick up your copy. I'm also going to have a book, Spiritual Guide on the Go, A Parent's Guide, and also Leadership, The Golden Rule. And so I'm working on many different books. I want to have everything completed by December. I know that this book is already complete. We're doing some editing and things like that. So just make sure that we continue to trust in God with all our heart, lean not into our own understanding, acknowledge Him in all our ways, and what? He shall lead and direct our paths. Now, to our family, of course, that particular get-together is on our page. I know that many of you are listening. I hope you've already ordered your shirts, and also the convention, the particular Zoom link is on our page, on our family page, if you go to the website. And we will be at that church this upcoming weekend, not this weekend, to give God all the praise and all of the honor. And so we want to congratulate our little cousin here for winning first in dance, of course, who is her trainer, winning first in dance. And we want to congratulate some things that's coming up. We've had some individuals who've actually taken some tests and things and passed, and we thank God for that. God just keep blessing us. And we just continue to trust in God. Put God first, and you will be fine. You know, God is our provider. He's our keeper. And I want you to have a nice weekend. As I said before, I'll be back. God's will tomorrow, and we'll enjoy each other once more. Okay, so thank y'all so much for tuning in. Be sure to share the link. Be sure to tell somebody, encourage somebody to just keep doing a fantastic job. This is my work week, so I'll be working on projects. I'll be studying. I'll be writing books. I'll be editing. So I just want you all to know that you are great people, and I thank you so much for your support and your love and all of those great things. All right? Till next time, take care of yourselves and each other. This is your host, Dr. Love. If someone asks you what that big, beautiful smile is all about, you tell them that love lifts you up because God is love. Till next time, I will see you later. Goodbye, everybody.